Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio, and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now, broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, thank you so much for tuning in. I am so happy you're here, and when you hear where we're broadcasting from today, you are going to be wanting to join us, because if you think you know about the old diner as part of the food lexicon back, that mid-century modern diner feel, there's a group of guys that got together in this community to preserve the wonderful diner atmosphere and really modern expressions of mid-century America. I'm broadcasting live today from the new Welcome Diner on East Broadway, just west of Park, having a great time. We're going to be talking to our good friend Connor Mansager, the bar manager. He's going to be talking about diner-driven cocktails. And we're also going to be talking with chef and owner Michael Babcock about what modern expression means when it comes to celebrating that old diner style. I tell you what, fellow foodies, this is not your dad's diner, I can assure you. And coming back on as our celebrity co-host, he has not been on the show for a while. We got a lot of catching up to do. He's one of the busiest guys in the brewing community, representing one of our favorites, Iron John's Brewing Company. Our good friend John Atkinson is in the house. What's happening, John?
Hey, Matt. Glad to be back.
I mean, take a look around. Is this not just a super cool, funky space?
I am looking at the cured sardines and the vegetable cassoulet, and I'm wondering, what are we going to eat tonight?
We better. You know what? Vegetable cassoulet, and it's a diner, John.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's so much fun. But anyway, you know what? Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And yep. I remember the first time you and I met was on this radio show a couple of years ago, and we were talking about how the role that beer should play at the Thanksgiving table. Of course, we don't want to, you know, discount the value of a wonderful cocktail or a wonderful bottle of wine.
Right.
But the beer that you brew at Iron John's really was intentionally brewed to go with food, right?
Yes, we targeted this time of year to release three pie beers that are all tied to the ingredients in classic holiday table pies. And there's nothing wrong with that traditional wine with the turkey.
Right.
But after the meal's over and it's time to bring out the pies and there's dessert on the table, then, you know, we put out this year a bourbon pecan pie beer. We put out a pumpkin pie beer, and we put out a chocolate peanut butter beer.
Now, where did that idea come from? You wanted to give your guests the opportunity to experience the wonderful sort of the image and the taste and of a great slice of pie and put it in a bottle and call it beer.
Well, we have a real culinary attitude towards brewing. We embrace a lot of ingredients that people may not have thought about including in beer. And it's just a natural course of conversation and further thinking. Hey, what about this? Can this be done? And a lot of places have thrown whole pies into the kettle to make a beer. Yeah. And, you know, we looked at the ingredients and thought about them, and let's toast some pecans and let's cook them in a batch of bourbon and some maple syrup and concentrate that down and dry that out in the oven and put it in the mash and see what flavors we can get to show up in the bottle. And
so
it's been fun.
You're really approaching the craft of brewing just like a chef would be, you know, kind of as a blank canvas as his culinary masterpiece.
Yes, absolutely. We did a beer with truffle, summer black truffle last month, which was a huge surprise.
I had that one.
And it is just an amazing thing. And you can't imagine, how is a truffle going to taste in a beer? And to everybody, it's a little bit different, but to me, it's like a cured meat coming through. And someone said, this tastes like a snoring hot dog in a bottle. I can't argue with anybody, but...
Didn't you sneak a little leek into that?
Some leeks.
Some leeks.
Fennel. Yep.
That is John Atkinson. That is how he rolls over there at Iron John's Brewing Company. We're going to taste a couple of beers, but first time you were on the show, you basically were just a bottle shop. You actually have a full-fledged tasting room there.
Yeah, we've added taps on the wall. We're pouring pints. We're serving in-house. We've got 23 things in the case to choose from in bottles for people to take home for family dinners or to impress the boss or whatever the need might be. So we got a full lineup of things.
And you're not too far away from where we're broadcasting from now.
Nope.
Here at Welcome Diner.
Yep. We're right down the road on about a block south of Broadway on Plumer, which is real close to Campbell and Broadway.
Right.
So we're almost midtown.
We're talking to John Atkinson. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour here from Iron John's Brewing Company. He has brewed three pie beers. You heard him right. Beers that were inspired by that wonderful slice of pie that we love on Thanksgiving. John, let's taste a couple of these.
All right. We're going to dive into the bourbon pecan pie brown ale first.
Bourbon pecan Pie Brown Ale.
So this was a sheer treat to make because I got to cook a bunch of pecans in maple syrup and bourbon, and I just wanted to eat the whole batch right then. I didn't want to put anything in the beer after that, and I wanted to dump it over waffles or put it on ice cream. It was just delightful. So what we're after is drinkability and balance in all the beers. So I want the pecans to come through. I want some of that pie sweetness to show up. The bourbon's there, but it's not a predominantly boozy beer.
Beautiful color.
It should remind you of a pecan pie after the beer has left your mouth. It should leave you with that kind of a reference flavor. Mm.
Oh, that is super
good. The chemistry of this is totally fascinating to me, and I love the thought process of trying to figure out, how do I get this residual flavor to be like that residual flavor?
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. The sort of the native nuts profile from that pecan is just alive. It anchors that beer.
Yep.
But like you say, you want a little bit to restrain on the bourbon because you just want to have a kiss of that spirit.
That's right.
You don't want it to be this big and boozy beer. Nothing against big and boozy beers. Did you guys brew enough of those too?
Yeah, we have a few of those. So it's nice as on its own as a beer, but also if you sit down with a piece of the pie, I want this to complement that pie. I want that to be a combined experience that people can actually take home to dinner and say, this is what we're doing now, and it's a whole new layer to add to the evening for everybody.
So get on over there to Iron John's and pick up one, two, three, four, buy a case.
Whatever you can carry, we'll help you with it.
This is great. let's try in one more beer before we do a commercial break. Boy, this is good. Bourbon pecan pie, and it's a beer, fellow foodies. What do we got going on next, John?
We're going to do the pumpkin pie beer. We did this one last year. It's Dad's Slice.
Oh, this was a winner last year.
This was my father's favorite beer of my lineup.
What a testament that is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pops.
So some of the beers he wasn't quite a fan of. He didn't like IPAs, but this he stopped and looked at me and said, what have you been doing out there in the shed? Because he was pretty amazed by the character of this.
Okay, so a beer fit to be called Dad's Slice.
That's right.
Okay, so right away, I mean, the color just looks like fall in a glass, John.
That's part of the package. You want it to look the same color as a pumpkin pie. These pumpkins came out of Wilcox. Hmm. We got them about a month ago. We fresh roasted them in the oven ourselves. And the meat of the pumpkin is full of starches. So we take all those starches and we get them mixed in the grain in the mash of the beer. And the enzymes in that mash convert some of those pumpkin starches and sugars to show up and add that real fresh flavor character. And then, again, we try to subdue the spicing character so it just shows up enough to remind you of a pumpkin pie.
Exactly. I remember this from last year, and what I loved about my first experience with this is it really celebrates the more savory aspects of that squash. I mean,
yes,
that wonderful gourd. It's pumpkin. You know, the native flavor of the pumpkin is not sweet. You bring in some spice and some sweet to sort of make it a little kiss.
Yes.
But it's that wonderful native sort of earthy,
savory
sense of that pumpkin. This is a must for your Thanksgiving
table. And it's not an easy thing to throw together. This has a little bit of honey malt to give some sweetness, some Munich malt to remind you of the crust flavors. There's a lot of stuff going on in there.
I absolutely dig it. Well, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, there's another famous John in this community. We got Iron John's Brewing Company, you, John Atkinson, but also our next guest is from Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue. Our good friend John Aldecoa is coming up next. He's going to be talking about a chicken wing challenge that I might have to suit up for, John. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. Hey, fellow foodies, what's that aroma in the air? It's the fragrance of fall, which means the great pumpkins have finally arrived. And no one celebrates pumpkin season like the Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro. Try their award-winning waffle with spiced pumpkin seeds and bacon, or their pumpkin chili for those who prefer their pumpkin on the savory side. It's loaded with fresh veggies with just a kiss of pumpkin spice. And the girls got you covered for all your holiday dining and entertaining needs. I'm talking pumpkin pies, pumpkin breads, pumpkin cinnamon rolls, pumpkin cream cheese logs. It's a veritable pumpkin palooza. Gourmet Girls Bakery and Bistro, voted best place to eat gluten-free. Open daily from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. for breakfast, brunch, and lunch. Look for them on North Oracle Road, just south of Rudisill, or give them a call to place your holiday order. 408-9000. That's 408-9000.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness here at the new Welcome Diner on East Broadway, just a little bit west of Park, celebrating this newly reimagined story of what a diner can be, preserving that wonderful mid-century modern America culture with today's modern expressions. Here with my celebrity co-host from Iron John's Brewing Company, John Atkinson. Always a blast having you on the show.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, as we said before the commercial break, there's another famous John here in this community. And let me tell you something. This guy knows his cue. This guy knows his barbecue. He, in fact, he loves barbecue so much he called his restaurant Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue. I call it all the basic food groups. From Brother John's, John Aldecoa is here. What's happening, brother?
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Nice to see you again, dude.
Likewise.
I mean, last we did our show live from your place last December, which means you guys are coming up on your first anniversary already.
That's a big milestone for
Unbelievable.
Us.
Unbelievable. The old Wildcat House space there on Stone. How are things going, man?
Things are going well. Things are going very well.
Right on. Well, you got something big and bold planned for next week. Now, I got to tell you, John, my family is from Buffalo, New York. So I was eating buffalo wings. I was eating chicken wings before the rest of the country had a chance to experience and to celebrate the role of the wing in today's diet. You guys know your wings there at Brother John's, and you guys are throwing down a wing challenge. What's up, man?
Well, hey, you know, all it's about is people see me eat the wings, and we had a restaurant back in the 90s called DJ's.
DJ's
we were known
wings.
For our wings.
Yes.
And I developed the technique in eating, and I can pretty much clean those bones with nothing left on them and knock them down pretty quick. And so we were just talking, let's get some people to come soon who can be faster than me. So
okay, so this is you at the center of the experience.
Yes.
You have a reputation to uphold.
I have a reputation to uphold. No, we kept it at 8 wings.
Okay.
You know, so it's not like a eating contest. I'm not going to gorge ourselves on wings here, though I could. But that's not what we're trying to do.
Matt, I just want to say,
absolutely.
I suffered at DJ's with their wings previously.
Oh, 9/11? 9/11
yes.
Wings.
So you signed the medical waiver?
I went there with some people who thought they knew what they were talking about, and they got put under the table, and it was delightful to watch, but it hurts.
And look at you, John. I mean, you're sitting there laughing.
Well, here's the thing. Our next challenge is going to be a DJ 911. I got the Wall of Flame from my old restaurant.
Oh, I remember.
There's 7 people on that list. It's going to go on the wall at Brother John's. And we're going to revive the 9/11 911 challenge.
I love it. All right, well, make sure you let us know exactly when that's going to happen. Okay, so when is this wing challenge going to happen next week at Brother John's?
Tuesday, 6 o'clock. You're welcome to come on in, and it's $10. You get an order of wings and a frosty beverage. If you're 21, you get a, you know, adult beverage. If not, you get a soda, but, you know.
For $10.
$10.
$10, you get the order of wings. You get the frosty cold beverage.
Yes.
And the opportunity to go up against, to go wing to wing with Brother John Aldecoa.
And if you're faster than me, whoever's the fastest gets their name on the wall. We have the Wall of Flame before we're going to have another wall, and we're going to get your name on there. You'll be immortalized forever.
Okay. Now, do people need to make reservations? Do they show up? How you do it?
You can call in and sign up. Right now, we're not going to cap it at this point, but if 100 people show up, we may have to, you know, limit at that point.
So this is all about speed, then.
Speed and cleanliness of the bone.
Okay, so
there can be no remnants left. This must be bone only. You know, I'm sorry for those of you that don't like the cartilage, but that's part of the chicken wing experience.
Amen, brother. Amen. So at the end of the day, now there's going to be a very serious adjudication process there. There are going to be bone judges that are going to take a very close look at the bones.
Yes.
And it is just bone and nothing but bone.
Yes.
Now, what is your secret to speed, man? If you're going to give any of these folks in our listening community that are going to rise to this challenge, is there one tip, is there one piece of advice that you would have them bring to this challenge?
I can't play that card. I can't give that away. There's a way. If those of you that are professional wing eaters know exactly what you need to do. So it's you know, if you don't know, then you don't know.
Right.
So it's one of those things. Like, you know,
he's playing it pretty close to the best there, John.
Yeah.
You got to keep the lips off the sauce.
Speak for yourself, John.
Our wings are smoked at Brother John, so we actually smoke them. And I'm a wing fanatic. I've been a wing fanatic since – The original Native New Yorker started back in Tempe, back in the 80s. Right. That's when we all started with wings here, really. Kind of in long. Remember way back when?
Absolutely,
yeah, way back.
Man.
So I started in Tempe with wings, and then we opened our place in Tucson. You know, I'm a wing aficionado. I love my wings. So these are smoked wings, and then we finish them off on the fryer, and they're just, I'm getting a little spoiled because now when I have wings other places, I want that smoky flavor.
Of course
you
do.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't find it anymore, so I guess I just got to eat it, Brother John's.
So everybody, there's a standardized preparation. So everybody that's participating in this challenge is eating the same exact wing.
Yes.
Okay, so these are smoked wings. Doing a little dry rub on there, John?
Little peppering, so to speak.
Not pepper, but a
seasoning before we smoke them.
Okay.
And then when we do them, we flash them, then we put them in the sauces. So you got your choice. You can do buffalo style. You can do chipotle.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
You can make it personal for you.
Make it personal.
Whatever sounds like a victory approach.
Exactly.
You just dress it up however you want to
cook. It's not about the heat. It's about the speed.
Now, what do you think, speaking of speed, is there a time that you personally are trying to beat? You know, I mean, eight wings. I mean, are we talking minutes?
Yes,
We're talking,
I believe, I'm hoping to break that, you know, 2.5 minute mark on there.
Minutes for eight wings.
Oh,
completely clean.
Completely. That's my goal.
Okay. Now, are they going to be the drumettes and the flappers?
Yes.
Both.
It'll be four and four.
Okay. Is there a particular, between the flapper and the actual drumette, from a competitive speed perspective, which one is easiest to clean? I would imagine the flapper.
The flapper.
Yeah.
Hands down. Easy.
In your mouth, pull it out. Done.
Done. Yeah. Cartilage and all. Right now.
A couple of minutes, man. I mean,
that's going to be impressive.
Stuff.
I'm going to go, but I'm going to have a hard time not ordering the beef rib.
You've had the beef rib.
They serve
Thank
a
you.
Beef rib that will just slap your
we
face.
We call it the Bam Bam rib.
Oh, my God. It's a dinosaur bone, and it is beautiful.
One rib is about a pound. Right now, they're a little, in the summertime, they're not as heavy for something. The butcher said that the cows don't eat as much in the summer when it's hot, but in the winter, they bulk up. So they get up to about 2 pounds for one rib.
And one rib is plenty for...
Oh, and it's smoked beautifully.
I mean, how many
That's
people...
Just
I mean,
amazing.
I could probably take that rib down, John.
A one and a half pounder is two people can share, or a single person with no sides, no problem.
Okay, talking to John Aldecoa from Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue. He is throwing down a challenge to all of you wing enthusiasts at Brother John's next Tuesday, the 15th, at 6 o'clock. If you think you got what it takes to dethrone this guy, he's got this overly confident look across his face. Go see him. Tell him you heard it here. But anyway, may the best wing man win. Anyway, John Aldecoa from Brother John's, thank you so much for everything you and Dave do in this community.
Thank you for keeping
us all fed and libated. And I may have to see you on Tuesday, man.
Hey, come on down. I might have to bring some Brother John, Iron John's beer in for the event.
That'll be an inspired idea.
What? Oh, I guess that's a good idea.
That pecan beer was phenomenal. I was tasting it. Should I say something? But that was so good. Hats down to you, Iron John. That was phenomenal.
We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, bar manager Connor Mansager is in the house talking about diner-driven cocktails on this live broadcast from Welcome Diner. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I think that fall is one of the most delicious seasons of the year. So please join me in celebrating the flavors of fall at a restaurant that takes this season seriously. Commoner & Co. Start with a bruleed blue cheese tart with a ginger snap crust, or a fall harvest salad with a bounty of butternut squash, red apples, and spiced pumpkin seeds. And then warm your soul with a bowl of rigatoni bolognese with Wagyu beef, mozzarella curd, and ricotta. You'll also enjoy a number of other dishes that represent the year's harvest, as well as some fun fall cocktails that are being shaken and stirred even as I speak, like right now. And on Mondays, all season long, it's half off all bottles of wine. Fall is officially in season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cole. I'll see you there.
Hey, fellow foodies, it's a brand new year, and I'm throwing down a challenge. The time has come for each and every one of you to do what I did years ago and liberate your pantries once and for all from those old jugs of oil and vinegar that you got from the big box grocery store. I'm Matt Russell, and I say enough is enough. It's time to make a fresh start for your family's health and choose only the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamic vinegars that can only be found at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Take it from the palate of a pro. Tom Alfonso is one of only a handful of certified olive oil tasters in the country, and his highly trained staff is ready to show you what you've been missing by pouring you some free samples today. Enjoy single varietal, fused, and infused olive oils, along with suggestions for pairing them with the perfect balsamic vinegars. Stop in today at one of their two convenient locations,
on the southeast corner of River and Campbell in St. Phillips Plaza, and on the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee in Plaza Escondida. Or check them out online at alfonsooliveoil.com. On behalf of Tom and Nancy Alfonso, here's to your health and happiness all year long.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You're listening to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. Broadcasting live from the new Welcome Diner on East Broadway, just west of Park. Having a great time with our celebrity co-host from Iron John's Brewing Company, John Atkinson. John, we're having a great time, man. The show's going by.
Thank you, Matt. Every time you talk to me, I'm happier.
Well, every time you talk to me, I'm thirstier. We're going to continue our tasting with you here in just a couple of minutes. But speaking of thirst, you know, when I think about diner, you know, back in my, you know, I grew up on the East Coast, yeah, and, you know, yeah, I came from a diner culture. Right. There was not High West Rendezvous Rye on the menu at the diner that I grew up at.
There's bad coffee on the back burner.
Bad coffee on the back burner. Certainly not Four Roses single barrel bourbon. But anyway, there's a guy here at the epicenter of the cocktail culture here at Welcome Diner. He has a thing or two to say about the role that the cocktail plays here at Welcome Diner. He's the bar manager. Connor Menziger is here. What's happening, brother?
Hello, hello.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
I mean, happy Saturday afternoon. The doors just swung open at 5 o'clock.
Doors just swung open. Not too busy yet, so I'm glad I can hang out and chat with you guys.
Absolutely. I'm glad you could take a step away from what appears to be a pretty busy bar, and we are at a diner.
Help me understand that, man. So that's... that's kind of a bit of the story behind Welcome Diner. The diner up in Phoenix is called Welcome Diner because it was housed in a vintage Valentine car diner, and took the name Welcome Diner.
Wow.
And so while it's not necessarily a pancake and milkshake kind of place,
right,
since it's in a diner, it's called Welcome Diner.
I love it.
And we kind of kept the theme going here. While we will be open for breakfast and lunch in the future, but right now we are 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., so more of a dinner spot, late-night spot, drinking spot.
And I would say, and not necessarily in that order, and I would say when the doors swing open at 5 o'clock and you go till, did you say 2 a.m.?
Sure do,
The cocktail business is pretty good here.
Yeah, we're really stoked on the cocktail program here. I had a lot of fun developing the drinks. I've actually got one in front of you that's a really great example of kind of what we're doing here. We call this a 902 East Spritz. 902 East Spritz. 902 East Broadway is the address here. Most of these drinks, and very much my kind of attitude and theme with cocktails, very much based in classics, and by that I mean drinks made 100 years ago, even 200 years ago sometimes. That was really the golden era of cocktails. So that's very much what I have studied in the past, but also when we're talking about modern cocktail culture, the good stuff is really coming from a pretty historical place.
And so that's that thread that sort of weaves its way through what appears to be like a dozen specialty cocktails that you have here on the menu.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, really, most of those are either, you know, we've got a whiskey sour on the menu, which is just a straight-up classic. We use bourbon, Evan Williams bourbon, lemon juice, and simple syrup. That's it. Shake it. Put it on an ice.
Don't want to do anything else.
Touch of bitters.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and people are going to come in here, and they're going to, you know, you've preserved this mid-century modern feel,
mm-hmm,
and you might want to sort of go back to that classic whiskey sour experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about this cocktail. I mean, I've just taken a picture of it. All of these photos are going to be up on our Facebook page, Instagram.
We don't normally put four straws in it. That was for the for everyone here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to drink the entire cocktail because it's my show. But anyway, this is the 902 East Spritz.
Yes.
Break it down for us, Connor. What do we got going on?
So, I mean, just to kind of start from the inspiration, again, like most of the cocktails, this is a really slight variation on a tried and true classic. Mm. That classic being your standard Italian spritz, or even more specifically an Aperol spritz.
Yes.
Is very common. That is usually served on ice in a rocks glass, with Aperol, which is a very low ABV, semi-sweet aperitif liqueur.
Right. Little bittering.
Yes.
Agent. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Just a very common kind of hang out on the patio and sip a, you know, low ABV drink.
Right.
Little bit of sparkling water, little bit of sparkling wine. That's it. Just super simple, super delicious. With ours, I actually threw in a little bit of a watermelon shrub.
Oh my gosh. Are you doing the shrub here in house?
Yes. This is actually a fun, so the bar does quite a bit of prep, for a lot of these drinks, making syrups and infusions, et cetera. But this is a fun story. The kitchen, right when we opened, the kitchen was actually pickling watermelon rind, which you can see on this skewer above.
Yes.
That is pickled watermelon rind, delicious.
Oh my goodness.
You like that?
That is beautiful.
Wonderful. Awesome. That's good to hear.
And what a great little juxtaposition, bringing that the shrub from the cocktail.
Absolutely.
Right with the beautiful, that tartness, that snap.
Yes, exactly.
Of the pickling from that watermelon. That's gorgeous.
I'm glad you like that.
Man, oh man, that's just alive and well.
So I'm glad you like that. So this to me ties into our restaurant and our theme very well. The kitchen was and still is pickling watermelon rind because you typically throw out the rind, but we're just trying to use it. And again, pickling watermelon rind, the product is that brine that imparts the watermelon flavor. So then, while making a shrub behind the bar is a very common thing, and we do that in other capacities, this worked out great because while the kitchen was using the rind, they weren't using the brine it
right,
was in.
Right.
So we said, hey, how about I just put that into a cocktail? So it's just...
We're so glad you did.
Yeah, and it's got a real orange rose color to it. I bet that has some of the flavor, the color contribution from that.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Juice. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's great when you really stick your nose in there and give it a whiff. You can detect, you can smell that pickled rind, as well as even that orange slice hanging off the edge. You can smell a little orange juice, a little orange oil even off the skin.
Great. Connor Mansager, the bar manager here, a great place to start. A little aperitif, a little bittering, this wonderful 902 East Spritz. Anyway, thank you so much for libating us with love.
You're
here.
You're very welcome.
We're going to take
great
a quick news break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to finish out the great Welcome Diner story with Michael Babcock here on this live broadcast from Welcome Diner on East Broadway, just west of Park. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQ. UTH. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and if your family is like mine, you gotta have a salad with your pizza, right? I mean, I think it's just as important as the wings and the beer. And when looking for standout salads to accompany our pizza pies, we look no further than Tino's. Family-owned and operated for 32 years, Tino's Pizza just launched a new salad menu that features 8 fresh options, including new chicken Caesar, spinach, and caprese salads, all made with the freshest of ingredients and house-made dressings. And what fine companions they'll make for one of Tino's signature sandwiches, calzones, or pizzas, like the iconic Big Mo, a 20-inch pizza powerhouse that you have to see to believe. If you're looking for an honest and authentic neighborhood pizza joint, do what I've been doing for decades and ask yourself, isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town. And don't forget to download some money-saving coupons at tinospizza.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the new Welcome Diner on East Broadway, just a little bit west of Park. Having a great time here celebrating modern expressions of mid-century American culture and cuisine and cocktails here with my celebrity co-host from Iron John's Brewing Company, John Atkinson. Always a blast having you on the show, brother.
Always, always.
So we're going to be catching up here in just about a minute with Michael Babcock, the chef and owner here, one busy dude. But we got one more beer to try.
Yes,
again,
we do.
You have made 3 pie beers
yes.
that we love for the holidays. Thanksgiving is a great time to do it. We tried a wonderful bourbon pecan pie beer. We tried this great Dad's Slice pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin pie.
What's our last one?
This is a chocolate peanut butter pie beer.
A chocolate peanut butter and pie
there,
beer.
There is a note of coconut in this beer, but there's no coconut in this beer.
Uh-oh. I don't even know how many.
How
do you do that?
The flavor comes from Palo Santo wood. It comes out of South America. It smells like a mint cedar, but in this combination, it comes across as a coconut flavor.
Now, were you looking for, I mean, was this like a revelation? Did you know you wanted to go after coconut and happened upon this?
No, I had heard of the ingredient, and we tried it in a base beer a couple years ago, and we were floored to see that it was so much of a coconut character that we needed to embrace that. And this is, you know, I guess you could call it an Almond Joy Reese's Peanut Butter Cup reference kind of thing.
I was just going to say Almond Joy. You know, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't,
that's
John Atkinson. Okay, what's the name of this beer?
This is the Fall Equinox.
Fall Equinox. One of the favorites.
We do four of them a year with four different ingredient combinations, and this is the one for this season.
Okay, so I'm thinking probably four bottles of each, get 12 bottles for my Thanksgiving table.
That's a case.
I mean, there's a case.
That's amazing.
That's how you do it. Go over to Iron John's Brewing Company. The address again for all of our listeners?
We're at 245 South Plummer, number 27, and a little industrial park in there, right across from Laverna's Cafe.
Classic,
if you've been
iconic.
There,
yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Good breakfast. Just a block off of Broadway, real close to Midtown.
Love this beer, just sort of a little bigger, a little bolder. It's, you know, it's very complex.
We make a lot of beers that are one-offs like this.
Earthy.
And when the batch is gone, it's gone until next year.
Oh, don't
and
scare me like
they
that.
They are distinctive batches, and they're all bottled, ready to go.
I tell you what, well, our next guest is all bottled and ready to go because he just sat down here. He is one of the guys that brought Welcome Diner to Tucson, and for that, this community is all abuzz. He is chef and owner Michael Babcock. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, man. Thanks
all right.
for having me on.
I mean, I got to say, well, thank you for bringing Welcome Diner to Tucson, brother.
You're welcome.
So take us back, though, okay, because we are sitting right here now at 902 East Broadway in the same space that was, what was the name of your predecessor?
Chafin's Diner.
Chafin's Diner, which was here in Tucson for, I don't know, how many decades, right?
Yeah, definitely. The Chafin's, I think, ran the diner for 15-plus years.
Right. And so where did the idea come from? So as I said before you came on the show, you know, I'm from back east. I grew up in the diner culture. You know, I mean, having a diner experience was something that was part of my weekly diet. You preserved that mid-century modern style here, but your menu is anything but 1950s. I mean, how did this whole idea come together?
Well, my partner and I, my partner Sloan McFarlane, we're really interested in, we're a restaurant group that's interested in really doing progressive food, and we're also really interested in architecture and historical architecture specifically. And we have a diner in Phoenix that's, you know, this old mid-40s diner coach in downtown Phoenix, and we were looking for a way to expand that idea. So we were looking for sort of iconic diner buildings. We love the idea of finding an old building and bringing it back to life, but cooking food that seems a little bit more present and relevant. And we actually found Chafin's Diner as it was on Craigslist of all places. We were
what?
Yeah, we
How
were.
How funny is that?
We were just doing a search for old diners that maybe we could relocate to Phoenix, and we found this gem of a building and space, and we, you know, sort of rushed down as soon as we saw it, like the next day, to see the interior and meet with the current owner, Alex Chafin at the time, and really fell in love with the space and fell in love with the area and sort of geographically where the diner sits among, you know, a really interesting cultural community, both within the city and the agriculture community surrounding Tucson was something that was really interesting to me, and of course the building as well. So it seemed like this was a good opportunity to sort of expand on our idea of, you know, revitalizing old spaces and sort of cooking in a modern way.
I can imagine that when you and your business partners showed up here for the first time, I mean, it just all made sense, right? You said, look no further. We have found Welcome Diner in Tucson.
Yeah, I think we were just giddy. I think we were literally just kind of giggling, like, is this real? Is this opportunity actually real?
Now, yeah. What kind of thought sort of went through your mind when you came in and you walked the space and it was you started to imagine the work that had to be done that you wanted to do? Was it a bit of a sort of a balance by saying, okay, we know there are things that we want to do to make it our own space? At the same time, you were celebrating that sense of place that the diner was back when this building was originally built. Was that a bit of a balance to not go too much and to sort of preserve what really works about this space in the TI perspective?
I mean, yeah, if we're just talking TI, yeah, I think we were really looking to restore the building. You know, I thought we were really sensitive to the community's concerns about, you know, what would happen to the space as we began to work on it. You know, and we really came from the context of restoration. You know, like we borrowed from all the lines of the structure and just tried to dig deeper into that. We didn't really try to change the structure in any way. We just rebuilt it because, you know, it needed some work done. And so the work we did was, you know, restorative in nature.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that you said that sort of to summarize that approach, it was really addition by subtraction.
Yes.
Which I think is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when we're thinking about, okay, John was saying before you came on, when we think about diner,
yeah.
What is your image of the diner that you grow up in, John?
I mean, you know, some eggs and some maybe some grits and some bacon, of course.
That's right.
But, you know, they've got some of that here. They've got grits. They've got some, you know, but they're unique. They're Pima grits off the menu here with green chili and roasted okra and sunny eggs. So everything I want from that diner image is right there.
Exactly.
But it's unique a little bit. I love the mix of passions with the architecture and the food.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a continuing story that weaves its way from the center of the plate to the setting itself, and I think to the spirit that Michael was talking about. Now, you know, the diner that I grew up on was biscuits that looked and tasted and felt like hockey puck. I think the Arizona Daily Star just said something about your biscuits, Michael. They said they are light enough where they have to be tied down.
Wow, that's beautiful. I haven't actually read that.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. I mean, they actually did a great profile of some great late night spots, and you know, Welcome Diner was obviously clearly right at the center of that story, talking about that. I mean, but vegetable cassoulet. Mm-hmm. At a diner. So talk to us a little bit about how this menu came together. So as John said, there are certain things when you have the word diner in your name, there are certain things, I guess, that are mandatory, right? I mean, when people have an expectation, there's these anchor experiences. But talk to us how the menu evolved from that beginning.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we are, in my mind, we are a diner, but we're digging, you know, a little deeper into, you know, what a diner can be. To me, like, a diner is a community space, you know, that does, even though there's a sort of historic representation of the food, like grits and eggs, like you're talking about, they're spaces for communities to come and talk to their neighbors and sit amongst one another and sort of sharing a food experience. And I think we're really trying to capture that idea really hard, too, but cook with the food that's around us and the ingredients that are around us and be inspired by the things that people are doing in Tucson and the surrounding area and let that influence the food through the, you know, through the walls of a diner.
Beautiful. You know. I mean, I love how you say kind of a community center, because I think going back to my East Coast roots, you know, you think about the role of the tavern in the founding of this country, right? I mean, the tavern was a place where people gathered to, you know, the seeds of dissent.
That's right.
You know, were sown
right.
At the tavern. From a culinary perspective, the diner almost has that same kind of feel, that it's a gathering place. It's a place to convene. And I just love that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the intention. We want people to feel like they can come hang out. It's a big reason why we designed this back room that we're sitting in as it is. We wanted strangers to be able to sit next to one another and sort of become friends by force almost, you know, and also allow, you know, large groups of friends and family to be able to come and share, sit around a table and enjoy
its
good food.
It's really advantageous that you're just outside of downtown.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You're close enough to whatever is going on downtown that people can still come by on their way to or from. And you're also, if I don't want to go downtown, there's some place I can go that I can still meet people.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. I think we're anchored right. We're like sort of nestled in between a lot of the best parts of the city of Tucson.
I think the space is dead on. I think the location is absolutely dead on. Now, when you walk through the front door and into the welcome and open arms of Michael Babcock, the thing that you see right away is that iconic diner countertop.
Yeah,
and I would imagine that you and your team said, you know what, we have to keep the counter because the counter is the diner manifest.
Yeah, that's sort of, you know, kind of going back to what I was talking about community spaces, you know, just the people that love old diners love to come sit at the counter and talk to their favorite waitress or waiter and sit next to their neighbor and sort of gather and hang out and talk about the day or the news or, you know, what have you. And to erase that element would have been a real disservice to the space.
I understand. We celebrate it. So what's your background? So you're chef and owner, so you wear two very important hats here at Welcome Diner. Where did you begin your culinary work?
I've been cooking for half my life at this point in the Phoenix area. I worked in a number of kitchens around Phoenix until my mid-20s when I had an opportunity to start a food truck. At 25, I started my first food truck, and it was based around chicken and biscuits. We literally just made that, and we tried to make it as scratch as possible using ingredients that I thought were interesting and relevant. And that became, you know, really popular, and I didn't really enjoy the food truck life. The mobile food truck world is nonstop work.
The mobile food truck world.
Yeah, it's intense. Those are some of the hardest working people that I know.
Seriously.
Easily.
Seriously, man. Yeah.
And I wanted a place to park and to just, like, come into work every day and work on what I wanted to do with food. So I found the diner in Phoenix because it was in my neighborhood and connected with the property manager at the time, Sloan McFarland. We basically became partners over, you know, several months, courting a business relationship. And February 2012, we got the diner open, which is just a nine stool road coach diner.
Oh wow!
With a, you know, a kitchen that's super tiny. The whole building is 200 square feet.
So it's one step away from a food truck.
Yeah. It's
a
food
really
truck.
Big food truck.
Yeah, it's a food truck without wheels. Yeah. Actually, if you go there, there's my food truck that I originally bought is parked behind the diner and is used as the prep kitchen. So it's kind of like
awesome. This
weird Frankenstein, you know, building.
So we have a lot of listeners all over the Grand Canyon State. Where is the diner located in Phoenix?
It's in the Garfield neighborhood of historic Garfield neighborhood of downtown Phoenix. It's right at 10th Street and Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get back to, you know, your roots in the chicken and biscuits world. I would imagine that chicken and biscuits play a significant role here at Welcome Diner. In fact, as I'm looking at the menu, quite literally the center of this menu, it begins with some wonderful small plates, like John said, you know, Pima grits, cured sardines and toast. You just can't find good sardines and toast these days, John. I mean, seriously, these guys are solving problems every single day. But you evolve right over to the biscuit and sandwich part of the menu. Talk a little bit of the biscuit. I've tried to make biscuits. It wasn't pretty. It was a threat to public health and safety. And I want to know what made the Arizona Daily Star say these biscuits are so light they have to be tied down. What's the secret? Just between us. I mean, just
yeah,
us.
Sure. Well, I support transparency in food, you know. So
I love it. I love this guy. Are you kidding me?
But I would say, you know, with biscuits, the number one thing is to not overwork them, you know, and to have really cold butter, you know.
Cold butter?
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes a big difference.
It really does. You don't want, you want really hard butter as the biscuits go into the oven, and that's what helps create the flaky layers, you know, because that butter melts and sort of helps create the layers that make biscuits.
All right, I'm hungry.
So, yeah. So the guy that crafted the biscuit, is there a protocol? So I was always a sort of split the biscuit open, and then if I need to add a little bit of butter, that's fine. I see people that actually will pick up the biscuit and just eat the biscuit whole. Is there one? I mean, you're the biscuit guy now. You were one of the top in the biscuit brethren community. What's the welcome way to enjoy a biscuit the right way?
You know, I would say, like, whatever. However you choose to enjoy it, I don't know if there is a right way. I think that, you know, you could just break one open and eat some with butter and honey, and it's great, you know.
Oh, my goodness. You know, John Atkinson says he was hungry, and Corey, you're very able, handsome, credentialed general manager here, delivers. Okay, so we're going to taste through this cornucopia of flavors that have just arrived. We have time to do one before we do our trivia question. So where would you say we start, Michael?
Well, we can start with where we began really with the diner menu, which is our Big Jim sandwich.
I was hoping you were going to say that. Is this this one right here?
Yeah.
Talk to us about this, Michael.
So what we have here is a piece of fried chicken between homemade buttermilk biscuits, a homemade country gravy, bacon, and Tillamook cheddar cheese. So definitely a stick-to-your-ribs sort of conglomeration of sort of classic American diner food.
All right, John, you're hungry.
Yeah.
Comfort food and booze
is
here, and welcome to Underdog. How do you even begin to approach this? I mean, I'm afraid I'm going to break rules I do what I do.
You got to get on the gravy first. There's gravy pouring out of this. It's just delicious. A little biscuit and gravy combination.
So if I use my fork, you're not going to roll your eyes.
No, I encourage, it's kind of a fork and knife sandwich. Mm. Definitely.
Beautiful, velvety. Southern gravy, a little sausage in there, Michael.
There is, yeah.
Just beautiful Southern sausage gravy.
Oh, that's
cascading. All right, and I am going to. Yeah, I'm gonna. I mean, there's no way that I could pick. No one's
yeah,
gonna pick
go
that
it.
Up, man. No one's gonna
people
do that.
Do. You'd be surprised.
All right, I'm gonna do it. All right, John, you want to do a play-by-play? I'm gonna move my microphone.
All right, let's see. It's going in. It's going. Oh, he got it. He got it all the way. He opened his mouth
really
all
nice.
The way for that one. That's not a surprise.
Good form, man.
Well, you guys are working on that one. Do you mind if I take a look at that bowl of, I believe that's the pozole? The pozole rojo there? That's smelling pretty nice.
Yeah, so what I'd recommend with that, there's a little dollop of black pudding on top that you see there. And I'd recommend kind of swirling all that around and letting that melt into the broth.
So, a dollop of black pudding.
Yeah, where do you get that? You get your breakfast plate here, then I'm moving into pozole, the whole gamut is here, and you're only open from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., but you're going to add more later.
Yeah, we are working our way into brunch, so we'll eventually be open 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. We're going to be starting a weekend brunch starting the weekend after Thanksgiving. So that'll be on.
Oh, that's
beautiful. So
that's
stay
soon
tuned.
Yes.
Welcome Diner on Facebook. check them out online. Time has come to see if one of our listeners wants to have a shot at answering our trivia question to get a Welcome Diner gift card. Michael, have you thought about a fun question to ask our listeners today?
Sure, yes.
Hit me.
I guess the trivia question I had in mind was to see if anyone knew what year this building was built here in Tucson.
Great question. Okay, so this was Chapin's Diner.
Correct.
Before it was Welcome Diner, this wonderful old sort of preserved diner space. What year was this building at 902 East Broadway, what year was it built? If you think you know the answer to the question, send us an email right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. First person in with the right answer, or the closest, is going to get a Welcome Diner gift card. And we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to finish our tasting here with the Honorable Michael Babcock from Welcome Diner. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around, fellow foodies. We will be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and you know how much Nancy and I love Jamie Sloan Wines. And we're inviting you, along with Jamie and Kim Sloan themselves, to join us on an exclusive wine river cruise down the majestic Rhone River next October. Together with Terry Ormland, independent travel consultant with Frost Travel, our friends at AMA Waterways have thought of everything, and they'll see to it that we experience the best that the south of France has to offer. We'll taste premium wines from the regions of Beaujolais, Lyon and Provence, personally tour some of the wineries that we've only dreamed about, and set out on excursions from truffle and olive farming to gourmet chocolate tastings. And foodies will surely relish the world-class cuisine that'll be prepared especially for us against the backdrop of the world capitals of gastronomy. Learn more by going to my website today, onthemenulive.com, and click on the cruise link to save $750 per person if you book by November the 30th. That's onthemenulive.com, and click on the cruise link. Or just call Terry Ormland today at 520-405-7862 and get ready for an experience that food and wine memories are made of.
And welcome back. You are listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. We are broadcasting live from the new Welcome Diner, 902 East Broadway, just a stone's throw west of Park on the south side of the street, here with John Atkinson from Iron John's.
Yes, yes.
And Michael Babcock, a chef and owner here at Welcome Diner. You are making a lot of friends here today, man. Seriously. Okay, so you showed remarkable restraint, but then you hit that Pozole big time.
Oh, as soon as we're off air.
I'm going in. You tell me what your observations are. I mean, this was adorned with a dollop of black pudding?
Yeah, so it's a black pudding made with pork blood and chocolate, actually, that we sort of spoon a dollop on top, and what that does is as you stir it into the broth, it melts and dissolves into the broth and adds a really nice layer of richness to it.
It richens it up. It's just really beautiful. It changes a classic Pozole base into this.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. It's hard to describe mouthful.
Yeah, it really is with a mouthful of Pozole. and it's sort of this reimagination of that classic experience and making it real and relevant in today's food lexicon. And again, what better time of the year, as we're approaching the holidays, to bring Pozole back to the menu and doing it just wonderfully like this.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous. And a little toast point.
Yeah.
Just a dip right in there.
Yeah.
Right? Not like the biscuit wasn't enough. I'm going back in on the toast points. All right, so we got one more dish to try.
Yeah, so this is our last dish here is what we're calling a Chicano Yaki, which I'm super stoked on. It's one of our new sort of seasonal menu items at the moment. And what we did here is we did an interpretation from a Japanese street comfort food called takoyaki, which is little octopus balls with sort of a Japanese mayonnaise and teriyaki sauce on it traditionally. We wanted to do sort of a Sonoran riff on that. So
a Sonoran riff on the octopus ball?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you get at Welcome Diner.
I hadn't thought of that.
But I digress.
Yeah, so what we did is we took Ramona Farms' Pima grit cornmeal as the batter base for our ball here. And so it has grilled octopus inside of there, and it's topped with a Jamaica and orange salad, some anchovy cream, and cojita cheese.
So some nice contrast of texture and flavor.
Absolutely.
You know, with the beers, we try and do the same thing. We're either looking to contrast something or complement it and get it to bring a balance and a drinkability. And these plates all reflect a balance and an eatability that's just
absolutely spot on. And the way they're plated.
Yes.
Just beautifully. Again, going back to the 1950s diner that I didn't grow up in the 50s. Going back to the 1967 diner that I grew up on, it was a piece of white bread with some shaved turkey and some gravy.
It wasn't pretty.
It was not pretty. but this, you've taken the time to appreciate the role that aesthetic plays at the center of the plate as well. So you've got these wonderful, this bounty of color. As John said, you've got these wonderful flavor and textural differences. This is actually a beautiful dish. And so, going to be rotating seasonal rotations of the menu? I know you guys have just been open for a few weeks now, but how do you think about rotating the menu seasonally? Because I know a lot of brewers do that. Yep. Certainly John does it once a week around the calendar. But what are your thoughts about menus changing with the seasons?
You know, I think we'll have – I'm really excited about our small plate section of the menu. It's
been
a new addition to our restaurant in general. And so that part of the menu is really playful. It gives us an opportunity to do new things, you know, whether or not I'm just bored with a dish and want to change something out, or some new produce comes in that we hear about that we want to use. That small plate menu gives us the opportunity to sort of play in a way that makes sense, you know. And I really try to encourage everyone to come in and almost have dinner just off that menu. You know, you come in.
And you could do it. You could legitimately do it.
I mean, it's really meant to.
And that's where the cured sardines and toast comes into play.
Yeah.
Is there a sardine community here in Southern Arizona? I mean, I can't have a pizza without anchovies, I declare. Sardines are relevant today again, finally.
Yeah. Well, they're delicious.
Aren't they, though?
They're a great protein source.
Yes.
They're healthy. They're, you know, what's bad about them?
No. Yeah, they're really great, even though sardines aren't really from this area, a lot of what's on that dish comes from here. I mean, we're using toasted bread from Time Market, which I love.
It's beautiful.
Some really great stuff, and we're using a goat's milk brie from Fiora di Carpa out in Benson.
Best goat around. Seriously, that's the best goat around.
Yeah.
They've just put out some killer.
We used some goat yogurt from them in a goza that we did this summer, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely. So you guys are open at 5 o'clock, 7 days a week?
Yes.
5 o'clock all the way up to 2 a.m.?
Yes.
Doing kind of a lighter menu as you approach the late hours, or can people order off the menu, full menu all the way up till 2 o'clock?
It's a lighter menu after midnight. It's mainly the sort of center part of the menu, the sandwiches. And
that chicken and biscuit. I can get at 1:30 in the morning.
Yes, you can.
Oh, and I will. and then as we talked, you're going to be doing a brunch menu as well right here around the corner.
Yeah, our first weekend brunch starts the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Great. What's the one item on the brunch menu that I don't see here now? I want you to give us a tease, Michael Babcock.
Well, I'm working on doing a bidia dish that I'm really excited about. And bidia is kind of a stewed goat that you find in, it's from Guadalajara, but you see it a lot in northern Mexico regions, and there's a lot of great spots to have it here in Tucson. So I kind of, I wanted to, do something playful with that idea.
You just can't get a good birria.
No, you really can't.
Down south to get that.
You know, if anyone's going to put goat on the brunch menu, it's Michael Babcock at Welcome Diner. Anyway, Michael, the time always goes by so fast when you're having great culinary and cocktail conversations. To you and your team, I say thank you for hosting us today and for giving us a little tour here of what you are offering to the Southern Arizona culinary community. I think you've done an exceptional job. It's such a comfortable space, and again, best wishes to you and your team for a huge 2017.
Thank you so much.
John Atkinson, always fun having a beer with you. Let's keep doing that, man.
Thank you so much.
Always if a pleasure. You missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and John Atkinson reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is On The Menu Live. Cheers, fellas.